It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard as we are broadcasting live from downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort Casino, as we do every day, Monday through Friday. Tonight, Pauly, pretty big game. I'd say. Cowboys, a 2.5-point favorite on the road against the Buccaneers, and Michael Gelkin covers the Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, and he is kind enough to join us here for a few minutes on a Monday morning. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
Doing really well. Good, I know, sir. You were tweeting about this, too, leading up to the game, and a lot's been made about the Cowboys' numbers on turf compared to grass. Overall on turf this year, 11-1 with the record, 1-4 on grass. Their EPA numbers on defense, there's a big difference. They're much better on turf than on grass. Does that have anything to do with tonight's game, you think?
I really don't think so. I mean, of all the variables, of all the matchups, of everything that kind of goes into a playoff game or any game for that matter, I can't tell you how often I've thought over the course of my 13-year NFL beat writing career as to whether or not the game was going to be played on grass and turf and how that could affect the specific team. I don't know. I know players really were dismissive to the idea that there's some sort of disadvantage that they carry into Raymond James Stadium because of the Bermuda grass. I think they're more worried about Tom Brady than the blades on the field.
Okay. As for the game on the field tonight then, I know you were writing about C.D. Lamb. He's going to get some extra attention by the Buccaneers defense, possibly a double team. If you trust other players to step up, let's pretend the Buccaneers neutralize Lamb tonight. Who is it going to be, in your opinion? Would it be Gallup? Would it be Schultz? Would it be someone else?
I would say of the other options, Dalton Schultz overall has been more reliable in terms of his connection with Dak Prescott. He has been working through a right PCL issue from way back in September, and I don't know if he's fully 100% quite yet, but I do think when you look at Michael Gallup, there's a lot of inconsistency there. When you look at Noah Brown, there's even more inconsistency there. And then T.Y. Hilton has really showed up overall, had a drop last week, but overall has been really sound, converting big third downs, even a fourth down since his arrival. But he's also, been here for a pretty short period of time. So I think you look back at Schultz here in year five with Dak Prescott, I think that chemistry in a loud atmosphere, I think it would stand to reason that he would be a safety net. But again, Bucks know that too. So I think as they pay attention to CeeDee Lamb and try to take him away, certainly in certain situations, perhaps third down, I would imagine they'd be keen on Schultz as well.
Are the fans back there baffled on the usage between Pollard and Zeke, and why Pollard isn't on the field more and getting more touches? And from that standpoint, what do you expect tonight with the running back situation?
I think fans were more baffled in previous seasons. The Cowboys have done a far better job this year relative to years past of actually getting Tony Pollard involved. He had his first 15 carry game this season, which is crazy to think about. The fourth year of his NFL career, it took that long to get him that many touches out of the backfield. So I think that tonight you're going to see a balance where Zeke Elliott probably is the one to start, but you know, probably that second drive, if not earlier, you're going to have Tony Pollard come in. I think the Cowboys are going to do all they can to present more to the Buccaneers' run defense. Over the past four games, the Cowboys have really missed their right tackle, Terrence Steele. He suffered a torn ACL on December 11th, and the run game just has not been the same. They haven't had a single game in which they've averaged more than 3.7 yards per carry. It's been especially abysmal over the past two games. So whether that mean an extra offensive lineman on the field, whether that mean Tony Pollard and Ezekiel on the field at the same time, different motions, jet sweep, whatever it may be, I think the Cowboys understand that they got to get this run game going, and they're going to need both Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott in order to achieve that.
What's the level of concern, and how what has happened with Dak here? And how do you explain all the interceptions and the turnovers as of late?
Some of it is, I mean, I think Dak Prescott deserves a lot of fault for it. But I also think, you know, there's a lot of context to every single interception. Okay, well, is it a bad decision? Is it bad placement? Did the wide receiver not, or tight end, not get across the safety's face the way that he's designed to against that particular coverage? And it's a timing throw, and Dak looks like he throws an errant pass, but it's really on the receiver. Or did the wide receiver simply drop a pass like Noah Brown did against mm-hmm. the Jacksonville Jaguars in overtime on a pick six to end that game? You know, there's been a couple of those. So Peyton Hendershot had another more recently. So I think it's too convenient to say it's all on Dak Prescott. That said, that pick six that he had against Washington was 100% mm-hmm. on Dak, and you can't excuse it because he's got to make some better decisions at times. I think just being a little bit over aggressive with the ball has been part of it. Sometimes he hasn't seen the field especially well. Really, that Washington game was the worst he's looked probably all season. He's coming off of that type of performance, but I think the Cowboys feel confident overall that he can get on the right side of it, and with better execution from his receivers, they should be able to avoid an interception tonight. But that has proven easier said than done over the past couple of months.
Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael Gelkin, our guest. He covers the Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at GelkinNFL. Well, then more than just Dak, I guess the overall level of concern with the entire team, if you want to go back, they were lucky to win at home as a monstrous favorite against the Texans. Mm-hmm. They lost at Jacksonville. They allowed Minshew to throw for 355 yards and gave up 34 points to him and the backup spot there against the Eagles. They lost and looked bad against Washington. So overall, the team, Michael, your level of concern going into this game?
If I was covering the beat writers, if I was covering the Buccaneers, I would probably express some concern about areas of that roster as well. I think you're going to have two imperfect teams going up against each other. That's the nature of the NFL every single week, and it's certainly the nature of what we have in front of us tonight. But yeah, I think the Cowboys no doubt have areas of concern. And the run game, atrocious as it's been over the past month, is a real major concern because we're talking about Dak Prescott and his struggles. Well, if you don't have a run game, it just accentuates those struggles, and it makes it more difficult for Dak Prescott to get going. If he doesn't have a run game, and you know they're averaging a yard and a half on first down like they have over the past couple of weeks, that makes things more difficult for a quarterback. So that's a concern for me. The cornerback spot, left cornerback, opposite Trayvon Diggs. Who's it going to be? Probably Deron Bland, a rookie fifth-round pick, who overall has done well. But the Cowboys, you know, they've really missed Anthony Brown at that spot. And so in nickel, what's it going to look like? If Deron Bland is your nickel corner, who's going to be the outside guy? Is it Xavier Rhodes, someone who the Cowboys recently signed to their practice squad? Maybe not. Maybe. We'll see. But that's a major, major concern because if the Washington Commanders, seeing how quarterback can expose your left cornerback spot, you better believe that Tom Brady in a playoff game with a long week to prepare is going to take advantage and pick you apart. So, I think we could very well be talking, if we were so scheduled, talking on Tuesday morning, and we would be discussing how the Cowboys are one and done in the playoffs again because they couldn't get the run game going and their left cornerback spot proved to be insurmountable. I 100% could see that being the case. That said, overall, you know, the Buccaneers have problems too, and I think that the Cowboys are the better, more overall talented football team. Whether or not that'll be enough, of course, we'll wait to find out.
They lose by 14 points. Is McCarthy back?
Yeah, it sounds that way. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And based on what you're saying about the secondary, if the Buccaneers expose that tonight, is it going to be Evans? Is it going to be Godwin? Is it going to be somebody else?
Yes.
All of them, all the above.
Yeah. I mean, Evans is so good that even if he's going against Trayvon Diggs, you still probably like Evans in that matchup overall. But it's, I mean, I think Godwin on the other side, and we'll see exactly, you know, how the Buccaneers move their guys around and all that. But maybe dig shadows, Evans, something he's done only a couple times this season. But yeah, we'll see what exactly the game plan is. But yeah, I think, you know, wherever, the, you know, Deron Bland and, you know, whoever else it may be at that, you know, on the opposite side of the field, I know my attention will be on it because I believe that Tom Brady's attention will be on it.
Yeah. What do you have for a final score?
I say Cowboys 27-24 over the Buccaneers, but my prediction, I tell you what, there's a lot of reasons why I'm an NFL reporter. I have a lot of good skills, but being able to predict football games is not one of them. I don't have the stomach for it. God bless you all who do. I know those who are listening. I don't know how you guys can do it, but yeah, that would be my score if I really had to.
Fair enough. You can read Michael in the Dallas Morning News. Does a great job covering the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys, and follow him on Twitter. He's at Galkin NFL. Thanks for the time today.
My pleasure. Take care.
Great job. Thank you.
So if they lose by 14, McCarthy's back. Well, but he's right there. He's got the pulse of the team.
I know what he does for a living. No, I'm not calling him a liar. I'm just, I'm just saying. I get fired. I have to fire him. It's a no-brainer. With Sean Payton out there? Come on. What time? Staley should have been gone already. Like Michael Lombardi said on Sundays, like, he doesn't get on the plane if Al Davis is calling the shots. He doesn't get on the plane in Denver with what he did. I mean, come, he's not the guy. You can't do this.
Can we get the old 60 minutes? Tick, 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 tick. The show's coming up in a little bit here.
Come on. Run down the mistakes Staley made.
Staley gone?
You can't do that.
I'll go one more. Okay.
And Sean Payton's out there?
If they lose in similar fashion to last year, then is he gone?
Yes.
That's way worse than losing by 14. That can't happen.
What does he do, though?
I don't know, because who would ever guess what he did last year?
No, just slide. Just slide. You clock it. You'll be fine. Actually, I don't know. Maybe it's a Baltimore-type scenario with the clock. Yeah. Huddling up with a minute.
What if something happens that's worse tonight than the ending of the 49ers playoff game last year? Is that possible?
I don't know. I don't see it. But Staley blew a 27-point lead and was plus +5 in a turnover battle. I don't know how you top that.
We'll recap the betting action from the weekend with Win Some, Lose Some coming up next.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world. until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Wow, winning. Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Oh, my God. Again, it's a top five weekend of the year now in sports. Wild card, super wild card weekend. We have another game tonight. But going through six pages of props, my God, with all the points. Eckler, first touchdown, 5-1. Two touchdowns, plus 320. Knox, did you have it?
I did have Knox.
There you go. First touchdown, 11-1. Cousins, first touchdown, 40-1. Thought Jefferson got in. Nope, I'll sneak it. Okay. I saw 45-1 at other spots.
Kirk Cousins with the first TD.
I know.
Yeah, Knox was the only one that I hit this weekend.
Chase, first touchdown, 6-1.
I had Higgins last night, 8-1. They went to him, too, and he almost caught that one by the pylon.
Cincinnati to win between 7 and 12 points, plus 430. Will there be a successful two-point conversion? Yes, plus 275. Halftime, full-time, like soccer? Baltimore, Cincinnati paid 6-1. Miss extra point, yes, plus 250. Defensive touchdown, plus 240. And the under from 44 down to 40. How about the landing spot in that game? I mean, that is a horrible landing spot that falls 7. Opening 6.5, getting up to 9.5, coming back down to 7.5. Boom! Falls 7.
Uh-huh.
Horrible. Niners to win between 13 and 18 points at Bet Rivers, plus 430. Jags to win between 1 and 6 points, plus 380. Buffalo to win between 1 and 6, plus 475. Giants to win between 7 and 12 points, 6-1. Barkley to score 2 touchdowns, plus 550. 2-point conversion in the Miami-Buffalo game. Yes, plus 330. 2-point conversion in the San Francisco-Seattle game. Yes, plus 330. The prop was 1.5. I thought it was going to go over in the first game.
Almost did, yeah.
DK Metcalf, 2 touchdowns, 20-1. Halftime, full-time, Seahawks, Niners, 6-1. Seattle first half money line, plus 240. The gift there with this ridiculous penalty and then the long field goal. God. Jags, Chargers, successful 2-point conversion. Yes, plus 220. Samuel Jr., an interception, 7-1. Who had the hat trick? Did anybody have that? Who had? Someone would have 3 interceptions or 2.
Can you imagine if you could bet on individual players to have 3 INTs in one game?
Come on. Right?
Oh, it's got to be, I don't even, 400-1?
Right. Jags in play. I saw as high as 28-1. Chime in if you got higher, if you found higher than that, our listeners. Let us know. Tweet at us or email
now,
as well.
Did you look when it was 27-0? Or was it when it was 27-7?
I think that was 27-7, yeah. I don't know, but that's right. I didn't see anything higher than that, though, but I could be wrong.
So imagine what it was then, 27-0 Chargers with the ball.
With the ball, right. Someone had $250,000 on Jags' money line.
Oh, well, that's a nice one.
It paid even money, though. I think he bet it early, but take the points, though. God, you never know. Six seeds in the wild card round are on 11-1 ATS run. Man U, 3-1, beat Man City. Rashford scored again. Great call, Nigel.
Oh, man, that was terrific on Thursday by him.
UFC, Nurmagomedov by knockout, 9-1. Round one finish, plus 450. Ige. Okay, round two finish, 8-1. Kapalov, round two finish, 10-1. Vancouver does it again. It took 2 minutes. Goal in the first 10 on the road. 21-1 run for the Vancouver Canucks. Subscribe, be part of the team. Watch the show, VSiN.com. We hit every demo here. You'll want to see these videos and these tweets. Eclectic mix as always. Merrimack has gone under 15 straight games.
Now you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, Ralph Michaels has it. Yep. How is that possible in college basketball? That's ridiculous. How low can you put the number? Not low enough.
Yeah, right.
Going in fresh. How about a mountain goat to start your day? I'm told the...
I can't believe you've never seen this before.
Oh, will you stop? What is this?
I don't know how it's real.
No.
It looks like a steroids-induced... I don't even know.
That can't be real. Yes.
Half gorilla.
He's jacked.
Half horse. I mean, it's just humongous. He's going to go out there and rip out a pine tree and bench press 1,000 pounds?
That's a mountain goat?
Evidently.
Oh.
That's what they're saying. I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah. Who knows with some of these videos, but that is... What is that thing? Imagine that. Oh, run away and hide. That is big fella.
Oh, there's a person here that's 50 feet away taking video. How are you not?
Sure.
Okay.
Lose some. We always mention the bridge jumpers on this show. And, I guess you can afford it. But this, I don't care who you are. Bezos does. This is going to sting. A better at DraftKings put $1.4 million on the Chargers in play. It was to win $11,000, right? What are you doing?
I have so many questions about this.
We'll revisit all of them.
We would have to probably bring on Johnny Avella from DraftKings to get, like, the scoop on the whole thing.
Come on. Bills 9.5 up to 14. Never a chance to cover that number. And the Bills wipe out all the teasers as well. A couple lose some videos. Bill Burr, one of my favorite comedians. A big Boston guy. Tweet, the average football fan will spend 18 months of his life waiting on the results of a challenge flag. Brad Allen was out of control in the Buffalo game. Out of control. A game cannot take 4 hours.
Paul, it
and
was,
then the challenges and the reviews and all this. And have some control. Jump in and stop the play. How many times long pass, 4th and 6, incomplete. Wait a second. Before the play, timeout, Buffalo. Get control of the game, Allen.
Paul, it was 3:15 Eastern time, and the game was basically going to halftime.
Yeah, had to push the second game back?
Ridiculous. That cannot happen.
No.
But I will say this. Last night, the Sunday night game, they had the hurry-up replay, and they were making decisions like this. That crew was awesome last night.
Did a great job.
Yeah, and how do they not have that all the time?
My God.
Like, let's go. We're going to have a decision in 5 seconds. We're moving this game forward.
Yep. And this was all over social media. Cliff Kingsbury bought a one-way ticket to Thailand. I don't know when I'm coming back. Okay, but he better hurry back soon, because apparently if he doesn't express interest in other jobs, it affects his buyout. Oh. Which Peter Schrager had that on the Fox pregame show.
I'll say this. I've never had more respect for Kingsbury in my life.
Yeah, one-way ticket to Thailand.
That's the move.
Yeah? What do you think of the move going there?
I've never been, but no? it's on a dream scenario.
Okay.
Talk to people about Thailand once,
Paul. Okay, sure. Yeah.
Las Vegas Chris, the guy who's awesome in, like, football contests, goes there. He used to go there, like, every summer.
Bangkok.
Or every after the football season's done.
Couple bad beats. Chargers money line. I mean, it never happened before. A team was plus 5 in the turnover battle in a playoff game and lost. Jacksonville never led till the final score at the gun. Kittle, over receiving yards. Come on, these last two. Purdy throws for 332 and that can't go over? And Gesicki, over. He was 16.5. He had 2 catches for 15 yards. Thompson threw 45 times? Come on. The beats here. 45 passes.
Oh, can you believe the beats I take?
Win some, lose some. Presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. If your first wager loses, Receive a free bet equal to your stake up to $500. Learn more at BetRivers.com. Really is something, this racket. It's wild coming in here every day. The college basketball, Merrimack, 1,500s in a row. Vancouver, 21-1. We'll get to the bridge jumper in a second. I forgot this, too, because the guy betted early in the week. Somebody put put 880,000 on the Ravens plus 6.5.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah. I mean, it went to 9.5. You could add 7.5. And then the fumble at the 2, this 98 yards the other way, the garbage at the end. Yep. And then why? Why 1.4 million to win 11,000? Why?
They're minus, what was it? 12,500 to win the game. I got an idea. I'm going to put 1.4 million on it to win 11,000. Of all teams, by the way.
That's true. I know. Of all teams.
Is it worth it, by the way?
Chargering. Just to get 11?
Is it worth trying to scoop $11,000?
I mean, how much did he have in his account?
Yeah.
Just snap, 1.4. Let me grab 11,000 here. It's just...
Right. What's a typical bet for this person?
I know. You talk to people all the time, though, these sportsbook guys, and they say this happens all the time. Not to that extent. But the bridge jumpers, the guys who will bet thousands to win a cup of coffee. A sandwich.
I wonder when the guy put, what was it, 880,000?
Must have been Monday or Tuesday. Yeah,
well, immediately. That was right. His gut call.
The Jackson
bam,
thing,
gotta do it.
Was that Thursday that started?
Well, yeah,
it was early in the week. He bet 880,000 on the Ravens plus 6.5. Is that a big deal to you, Jackson? Didn't travel with the team?
I thought that was odd. I don't know.
Well.
Oh, there's a good chance he's gone anyway, so.
For sure.
Maybe
he also, even if they won, he wasn't playing again.
Yeah. Well, up next, it is MLK Day. It's always big in the NBA. They lost on the road as favorites yet again last night. Now 4-17 on the season. And guess what? They're favored again tonight on the road.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Football playoffs heating up with Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. All the props tonight from Monday Night Football, your go-to book for all things football this playoff season. Celebrate with a divisional round parlay insurance and the playoff first touchdown insurance. Log into BetRivers.com or download the app today to get in on the action. It's a whole new game at Bet Rivers.
How about this, Paulie? Opta Stats on Twitter. The Vikings are the only team in the Super Bowl era to complete at least 80% of their passes with no turnovers and no sacks allowed and still lose regular season or postseason. NFL teams had been 47-0 in the Super Bowl era when doing all of those in a game before yesterday.
My God. See, that was tough because Danny Dimes looked great. And now a lot of people, you see the move from 8.5 down to 7 already on the Giants. But that's a horrific Minnesota defense.
I got news for you. The Eagles
here's
defense.
Another guy. Yeah. Donatell should be gone too. Uh-huh. Donatell? Yeah. That's another. The crap he's running from right out of the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
That should be another one. You stop with the cover, giving the guy the cushion. It's too easy for these guys. And then Barkley just gashing them what was available. And Danny Dimes, great job by Dable, how Dimes was utilized with the rushing attack as well. And then, of course, season on the line, 4th and 8, I'll check it down, and that's it.
Yeah, even like the Vikings, when they went down to score and took the early lead, it felt like they were really, really working for that. Like every single play, like every yard, it was really difficult. And then as soon as they scored, the Giants on offense, that was easy. What, like 5 plays, almost 80 yards, touchdown. The whole game was a breeze for the Giants offense.
Yeah.
That Vikings unit was, I wanted them to play one more game so we could bet one more over on that team.
The Vikings have been so good in the first quarter. The Giants had bought, I think the Giants had lost 6 in a row in the first quarter, and then the Vikings go down the field, and then they don't even have the lead because the defense was so bad.
All right, right.
So that could be another one, too, where a coaching move could happen today.
Okay, so we're waiting here with bated breath. Does Brandon Staley get fired today? I don't think he's going to. He should, and they should absolutely make a run at Sean Payton. Like, a deal should be in place for Sean Payton by the end of the week, but we'll see how this one plays out. Let's go back to last week. Remember, going into the playoff game, and Staley was asked about, Mike Williams got hurt. He was carted off the field. You're playing your players. And then Staley, like, he gave a really confusing answer about, like, he doesn't really know how to rank his players.
I mean, I stand behind what we did in that football game. I think, you know, all my players are really important to me. And there were a lot of players that were, you know, playing in that game that were in harm's way. That's just the nature of football. And it's very difficult to decide who plays and who doesn't and who's more valuable than the rest. And what you're trying to do is set a standard for your program about how you do things. And that's what I believe in. And I didn't want anybody to get hurt in that game, regardless of their status, because everybody's important. You know, we're just hoping Mike gets back, but, you know, we're going to be ready to play on Saturday.
Okay, that's, now this, you got to stop with this. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings business. And that, I mean, that's the comment there. If I'm the GM or the owner, you don't know who's more important. That's, you have to. You're in over your head if you can't put together a list. It's obvious. With Herbert, Bosa, Williams, Eckler, however you want to go with you. But Herbert's number one, you go from there. I mean, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Yeah. That was the most egregious thing. Once he makes that comment last week, but going back to Denver, Williams gets carted off the field and Herbert and Allen are still in the game and Allen's in the game late in the fourth quarter. It's a meaningless game. You're locked into your seed and then you saw how Dable treated their game. I mean, he is out to lunch, this guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he's not trying to offend any of his players or whatever it is.
You can't make that comment.
You can't. You just avoid saying that altogether.
And it got worse for him this past week. And I know Whale Capper, Drew Dinsick, was just calling him a liar left and right. He goes, I'm sick of the lies. Oh, he'll travel with the team. No, he didn't. Oh, he'll be okay. No, he's not. Not only was he out, if they won, he probably wasn't playing. He could have missed 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
How bad that was. Rest over reps. All this stuff. I mean, come on. And then you're +5 in the turnover battle. You're up 27-0. You blow it. That never happened before either. Sean Payton's out there. Let's go, Spanos. Do the right thing.
You have to. Just go make it happen. And here's one more from Staley then. And again, here's the stat from the second half. Up 27-0. Actually, you include the whole thing, right? After they took that 27-0 lead, they called 25 pass plays. They ran it only 8 more times. Here's Staley talking about the running game in the second half.
Yeah, it was frustrating. It was frustrating. Just didn't have enough success at the line of scrimmage, and not enough, you know, yards after contact, and just didn't play a good second half of football in any phase. And certainly, you know, when you have that type of lead, if you can possess the ball effectively enough, then there won't be enough time. And we just didn't do that, and then didn't score the ball either.
So they're out. Jacksonville marches on. I do think the Chargers, despite him at the coaching spot, Chargers at Chiefs this weekend, oh man, that would not have been a walk in the park for the Chiefs.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah, both games were close this year.
I will say that.
The Thursday night game last year that went to overtime, the Kelce walk-off, so no doubt about it, Herbert's dangerous, although he certainly struggled, especially in the second half, but again, the play calling was ridiculous. I go back to the 3rd-and-1 garbage. 27-0, 3 minutes, second quarter, and you're getting the ball to start the second half. And it's 3rd-and-1, and they run that crap to Bandy. And he's not even expecting the ball. He backs away from it. Yep. Herbert's trying to give him the ball. He moves away. And then loses 10 yards. They're backed up. They have to punt. Jacksonville takes over at midfield. Touchdown, 27-7.
Yeah. There's also a video making the rounds on social media. I can retweet this during the break. Benjamin Solak had this, who's been on this show before. He's really good on the NFL. He went back and found a play in week 3 on 4th-and-short where they basically isolated Asante Samuel, the Jacksonville offense did, where the only player who could make a play to stop James Robinson was Asante Samuel, and he took it to the house for a touchdown. Like, Samuel had to make a play, and he couldn't. That same play, basically from a different formation, is what he ran against Brandon Staley on Saturday night when they had the 3 guys in the backfield. And they gave it to Etienne, and he went around the corner for a log run on 4th-and-short. It was the same exact setup, but they designed it differently. And it was Asante Samuel in isolation. And that's it. Just don't make a play, and Etienne's going to get the first down. And that's exactly what happened. So that's just like, that's Peterson trolling Staley, essentially, is what it was. And he's like, okay, I'm going to do the same exact thing, buddy boy, and you're not going to have a solution for it. And he didn't.
Lombardi's right. He's supposed to be a defensive guy, defensive guru. They've stunk every year.
Yeah.
He can't blow a 27-0 lead. Ah.
Yep.
Full marks to Lawrence, though, too. But, you know, the one thing that could save him, Spanos is cheap, and He'd have to cough up a lot of money for Peyton. Going to be a bidding war, and the players apparently like the guy.
They like Staley.
Star players, after the game, said how much they like him, and they think it'd be a bad move to get rid of him. Okay.
Yeah. What a mistake.
Yep.
You can't waste Herbert's prime like this. In the association today, happy MLK Day, by the way. Always a big day in the NBA. The Warriors played last night on the road against the Bulls. I was looking at Chicago, but they did not have DeMar DeRozan, so I did not bet them. They ran the Warriors out in the second half of the fourth quarter.
Warriors continue to struggle on the road.
They are 4-17 overall on the road.
God.
Again, lane 6 last night, lost 132-118. So the Warriors are on the road again today, and they play at Washington, and now this total is 230. Well, boy, it's between 232.5 and 234.5. And they're laying 2.5 points.
No.
I watched that game against San Antonio in the Alamo Dome on Friday night. They couldn't miss. They scored 140-plus points.
Yeah.
And they won that road game. But, look, man, they... And Curry's back, by the way.
Right.
And this is half the season we're talking about.
Yeah.
They're going to put it all together and be trustworthy on the road in the playoffs? The defense has been lousy for Golden State.
It's been a wild season. Wild. Minnesota gives up all those picks for Gobert. They're 500. Atlanta, we'll never see. This is done. Brian Windhorst was great on his podcast. This stuff about giving up all these picks is over. What Atlanta gave up for Murray, they're under 500.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of that could be Trae Young based too. But this, you know, with Phoenix, a mess. Golden State, a mess. Atlanta, a mess. Minnesota, struggling.
Mm-hmm. And you know who's really good? Boy, the Oklahoma City, go back and look like the last couple of weeks ago, with some of their wins. They beat Brooklyn on the road. And there's an angle out there, Paulie, where this team could be in the play-in game in the Western Conference. That's like 10-1 right now if you shop around. For that team to actually participate in the play-in game is around 10-1.
Yeah.
They might make a move. They have all this young talent and
20 picks.
Countless picks coming up. So why not maybe give up one pick? Go add somebody, whatever position that might be, and get these young players some confidence, like moving forward into next year. Or hell, maybe crazy things happen and they actually make the playoffs.
What a ski mask job that was. A plus to Presti. He knew he had the Clippers over a barrel because it was Kawhi was coming or bust. So he's just like, he asked for more picks and more picks. And no, by the way, he got the better player in a trade with Alexander. And they just kept throwing in more picks. It was like, nah. If you don't give me what I want, you don't have Kawhi. So, okay.
At the time, and I said it on the air, they actually got the better player in the trade. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was better than Paul George. I cannot believe the Clippers gave him up, and look at what he's turned into. We'll run down the weekend that we had in pocket plays and tell you what we're adding today coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
You're right.
All right. It was a strange weekend. And some tough beats and some lucky wins. But Gesicki over 16.5 receiving yards again. He has 2 catches for 15 yards. Thompson throws the ball 45 times. Oh, you tell me before the game, it's like, okay, well.
Well, that's kind of no like problem. Kittle not going over.
That's exactly, yeah, it's like Kittle. Purdy goes for 330 and Kittle can't go over. Over 1.5 successful 2-point conversions plus money. What are we at, 5?
Have we had that many?
It's 4 or 5.
Wow, okay.
And Seattle went for it and didn't get it late in the game. So we've had, I think, 7 attempts. Charger money line. Sure, absolutely.
Oh, boy.
You believe the beats I take. Charger money line. Can't get there. 49ers Seahawks under was a horrible read and a horrible play. I thought that would be like the first 2 games and low scoring. And how was Seattle going to move the ball? I was betting San Francisco in play. Early. I'm like, they're not going to stop them. I don't know if Seattle's going to be able to move it. And then all of a sudden, great job with the adjustments. And they started to move. And Metcalf was a beast.
That was great.
Ward was terrible for San Francisco. Yep. Wrong side winner. Bengals Monday, 6.5. They had no business cashing. They had no business winning the game. Baltimore dominated the last 3 quarters. And just the ridiculous fumble, scoop and score the other way. Burrow to throw an interception, no, was a winner as well.
Well, Paulie, that's kind of the way it works, right? I mean, you have Chargers money line and Bengals minus 6.5.
Yeah, cancel each other out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But the Gesicki has got to get there, right? He threw it him on that 4th down play. Too. I guess I should have, you know, Gesicki also had a touchdown. So
he did.
The anytime touchdown, I'm sure that paid well. I missed that one.
Okay. Here we go. Graded plays. Over Chargers, Jags got their 47.5. I had a loser and a player prop, Elijah Mitchell. Well, he had 9 carries for 2 yards. I don't think that qualifies as going over, huh? 38.5, that was a loser. They used him a lot in the passing game as well, but no good on the rushing prop. Seahawks plus 6.5 in the first half.
All right.
That was a winner. Again, that was just juice to the gills because of you know, all these favorites and what books are getting from the public, and thought it was too high there. Those are the graded plays. So my new plays, I'm going to go Tom Brady over 42.5 passing attempts tonight. Talked about this a little bit earlier. Game 1 looks nothing like the rest of the season for Tom Brady. And by game 1, I meant week 1 when they played the Cowboys. He had 27 passing attempts. He had 27 completions in 11 other games this year. His last 5 games since December, 54, 55, 44, 48, and 45 attempts. And we had a guest on, Michael Gelkin, 45 minutes ago. I said, who's it going to be then tonight? And he goes, yeah, all of them. I said, Evans, Godwin, other? He goes, all of it. Okay, all right. And I'm adding this, Paulie. I like the path now for the Chiefs, plus 145 to win the AFC. And there's a chance they get the Bengals, and this Bengals team is beat up. I think the Chiefs...
And revenge. That'd have revenge. Big revenge there.
I would like them a lot against the Bengals.
All right.
Neutral against the Bills, okay, I just think that the Chiefs right now, plus 145, and they have the Jags this week rather than the Chargers. I'll go KC at that point, and I do have some other pending plays that I made last week going into tonight. Eh, God, over 1.5 mixed extra points. I need one. Somebody want to help me out tonight? Buccaneers plus a 3 minus 120 and a teaser. Bengals got their -2.5, very fortunate, and the Buccaneers would cap it off tonight +8.5.
That's it. Yeah, that's another one with all those points. You think it'd be more missed extra points as well. In Pocket, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Check out their daily specials posted after noon Eastern at BetRivers.com. I was shocked at Al Michaels. He's a legend. I couldn't believe Michaels and Dungy. You know, and not for nothing. I don't care. Well, Dungy, I would do this in this situation. I would do that. Dungy actually said, I don't know. I'd take the points here, he said. It was fourth and short for the Chargers, and for Jacksonville, they went for it. It's a 51-yard field goal. I take the points.
I heard him say that.
Give me a
break,
Tony. I heard
him say that, and I was in the kitchen, the volume's on, and my head whipped around, and I'm like, did he really just say that?
He said it.
You're going to take the points from 50-plus yards. Folks, come on. What are we doing here in 2023?
Yeah. And I saw, you know, one of the management guys who works here, Brian Rogers, tweeted back at him. I think Super 70 Sports on Twitter, which is a pretty good follow. He mentioned how great Brent Musburger was, and it doesn't feel the same. And we knew it was a pregame show with Musburger, and Rogers comes back. Hey, put on VEASAN. He's on every Sunday morning, right? I cannot believe how bad the pregame shows are. I'm begging. I guess it benefits us, I guess, but I saw the person in charge of talent or the producers, will you stop with the ex-coaches and players? The amount of money they spend. How many people you got on NBC on that pregame? 10 people?
Yeah.
With all that? The amount of money that's wasted. And nobody says a damn thing. It's like, let's go down to an interview here with Erin Andrews. She caught up with so-and-so before the game. It's like, who cares? And he might be a nice guy. But Bradshaw doesn't know if he's coming or going anymore. It's incredible. And I'm just sitting watching the pregame show for an hour, like get to the kickoff here at San Francisco. Like, and I'll just say like a Mitch Moss or an Adam Chernoff or a Paul Charchian. Give me that for 30 minutes, rapid fire. Give me all your props, what you like, and your take on the game. And there's nothing on these pregame shows. And the amount of money that is wasted is laughable. You know, and I don't think this Greg Olsen is anything special either. Everyone raves about this Greg Olsen. And I'm watching the game yesterday. Listen to how many times Greg Olsen starts a statement with, I'm not sure here, but I don't know, but he starts every sentence that way. About a call. And Burkhart's throwing it to him for the analysis insight, former player.
Right.
And it's, I don't know, but guy's scared. And part of the reason is this McVay coming back to the Rams, the $15 million a year jobs are taken for and accounted for.
I'm stunned that you watch pregame shows. Stunned.
Yeah.
You got to find something better to do.
I can't believe, I'm just, I like the tune. It's like, God, you couldn't be more, they couldn't be more bad. If they tried to make them this bad, it's impossible.
They've
the amount of money they're throwing around.
They've been doing this for 20 plus years. They stuff.
It's the same format.
8 to 12 people on there.
Right. It's the same format.
They all get 4 seconds to say one quick tidbit and they move on to the next person. Then they go to a 5-minute commercial break, and then, hey, let's go to 7 other guys to get their opinion on this. And have 3 guys and have some banter and have a guy, how about this, have a guy expand on some thoughts once for more than one sentence. And I'll give you one more, too. Like what you said about hiring all these old coaches. I'm watching games here yesterday at Circa with a big group of doctors in from the East Coast, right? Good guys. They love, they listen to VEASAN and have since day one.
Yeah, Nish and the guys, yeah.
Yeah. Nish is telling, like, some of the younger people that they work with, they're sports fans. They would not be able to recognize a Phil Simms or a Bill Cowher or any of these guys out of a lineup for like 100. Who's this guy?
Who Boomer Esiason is?
I'll give you $100,000 if you tell me who Boomer Esiason is. These young people are like, Boomer Esiason, never heard the name before. Yeah. Who are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I don't, I don't know. I'm.
The other thing, if I'm paying you this kind of money, you can at least pretend. Tirico was, maybe so, the word got down, but Tirico was into it. He was awesome. I just can't believe Michaels and Dungy treated it like a week 3 game.
Well, who thought that would be a good comment?
Whoa.
Let's put Dungy on a football game.
Whoa, Twitter exploded with how they were treating the game. It's an epic comeback.
Yeah.
And a game-winning kick is good, which Michaels could have had Charger money line, so I don't know. The other thing, great job on this show by Lawrence Tynes, who called Giants by 7.
Yep.
Great call by Mike Pritchard pointing out the yak in the Niner game.
For the Niners.
And how Seattle gives it up.
Yep.
Second worst in the league. Great call, Mike.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. One more thing on Brent. Because he does I watch it almost every single week on Sundays. He's, what, 82, 83 years old? If I could ever be 1/80th as good as Brent Musburger, right? I mean, that would be the ultimate goal. And he's also got, the best set of pipes ever.
Yep.
And he's been doing it for a long, long time, obviously, for his whole life. And the way that he just sets it up, he gets in and out of breaks, goes to the guests, has great information. He's one of a kind. He's awesome. Oh, if we could have the NFL today all over again.
Yeah.
That's honestly, that's...
How did you have Jimmy the Greek on when it was frowned upon, and now we don't have a gambling, a betting expert on, and we're in bed with the NFL?
How about this? Everything gets better by the year. There's more information, bigger, better, faster, athletes, whatever. The last time that a TV network had a great pregame show was that, back in the 80s. It's been all downhill and garbage ever since.
God forbid you hire somebody young. They're all old guys, too. CBS went Burleson.
Oh, and it's pulling teeth trying to get anything out of there about the gambling stuff.
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's
CBS totally ignores it.
Yeah.
You know, and Nance dances around it as well.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What a weekend. My God. Again, after what happened last year, though, with 4 of the 6 games blowouts. And we got another one tonight. I mean, how good is this?
It's a really good weekend.
It's a tough call. But Dallas, San Francisco, that's a sexy
Does a team win with ease tonight, or is it down to the wire, fourth quarter, don't know what's going to happen?
It's Brady and the Buccaneers.
I think
so. It comes down to the fourth quarter and Brady having the ball last.
If you miss any of the show, go back and listen on your own time. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music. All you do, search Follow the Money. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone was like, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.